It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The harassment of conservative Supreme Court justices continues as far-left abortion activists publicly harassed Justice Brett Kavanaugh last night while he dined at a D.C. steakhouse. Just the latest incident of abortion radicals victimizing Kavanaugh, who just weeks ago was the target of an assassination attempt. We'll have the details in tonight's Hold the Line. Welcome to Hold the Line. I'm Buck Sexton. The left acts like a bunch of crybabies all the time. We know this, and they're fine with it. They don't even seem to pretend that this is an issue they want to stop. They'll speak in defense of the shrieking, angry mobs that will track down anyone in public life who doesn't give them what they want. And I don't mean protesting on the steps of the Supreme Court, for example. You're totally welcome to protest there. But showing up at someone's home, especially when they're a Supreme Court justice, a member of the judiciary, and therefore protected under federal law against judicial intimidation. You know, think about this for a second. If somebody wanted to influence the outcome of a trial and they had a bunch of their friends get together, banging pots and pans and shouting outside the home of a prosecutor that we're never going to leave you alone and we're going to terrify your children at school and all this other stuff. That's clear judicial, or in this case, prosecutorial tampering, right? But because the libs are all so sad because their bullcrap Roe v. Wade decision no longer exists, they think they're allowed to just get away with whatever. And we're seeing more of that now. Kavanaugh, Justice Kavanaugh, who's given the libs some victories too, by the way. He's not like a super solid constitutionalist. He's not a rock solid conservative like Thomas or Alito, but he was at a dinner, a place I know pretty well in D.C., the Morton Steakhouse, and a bunch of lunatics chased him, basically, like mobbed him, shouted things, and he had to leave out of the back door of the restaurant. This is from the shutdown D.C. Twitter account. While the badasses, R. Rights D.C., and his own neighbors are gathered outside Kavanaugh's home, the justice seems to have snuck out for a swanky D.C. dinner. We got a tip from someone who spotted him around 7:40. DM us if you want to join him. We're sure he can pull up a seat. I mean, these are Antifa-style Biden-voting lunatics who try to crowdsource their harassment as much as possible. Hey, do you see this person? Let's go chase them and scare them. They think they're going to, a Supreme Court justice is going to have dinner with his wife. Let's make them concerned for their physical safety. That is what they are doing. Make no mistake about it. the shutdown DC tweet, run by morons and followed, or rather, people supported by morons. They said, we hear Kavanaugh snuck out the back with a security detail. Morton should be ashamed for welcoming a man who so clearly hates women. I mean, honestly, whoever runs a shutdown DC account, I would like to have a few words with them face to face. I think we'd have quite a chat. These people are disgusting. They are despicable. But this is very common among leftists. They think that they have a right to just harass and threaten effectively, implicitly threaten, if they don't openly do it, anybody in public life in the political process who doesn't give them what they want. Fortunately, in this case, Morton's, the steakhouse, came out and defended Kavanaugh publicly, which is at least one thing moving in the right direction here. Honorable Supreme Court Justice and all of our other patrons at the restaurant were unduly harassed by unruly protesters while eating dinner at our Morton's restaurant. Politics, regardless of your side of view, should not trample the freedom at play of the right to congregate and eat dinner. There is a time and a place for everything. Yeah, there are time and place restrictions even on speech, by the way. The left loves to use, just to be clear, they love to shut down speech. Oh, it's violence. You said that I'm not a woman and I'm actually a man. Well, I am, but they love that stuff, right? They say it's violence. It's a hate crime. You're not allowed to say this. But then when it comes to, can someone just sit in a public place without having an angry mob shouting at them and calling them names and cursing at them? No, that's democracy. That's democracy. The shutdown DC Twitter account actually offered a bounty for Supreme Court justices. DC service industry workers, if you see Kavanaugh, Alito, Thomas, Gorsuch, Coney Barrett, or Roberts, DM us with the details. We will Venmo you $50 for a confirmed sighting and $200 if they're still there 30 minutes after your message. I mean, they're paying to find and harass members of the judiciary. By the way, you're actually not allowed to intimidate judges. I know that the Democrats, they're so sad about Roe. They're such crybabies. They can't even read the law and understand it. They think that they can just get away with this because Biden's a coward, and he's honestly a moron, and doesn't have any interest in defending the Constitution, doesn't have any interest in defending the rule of law. And in fact, here's Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary. When asked, here's how this should go. When you're a White House press secretary, and you're told that this isn't even a member of Congress, not that that would be okay either, but this isn't a politician, this is a member of the Supreme Court, which is supposed to be nonpartisan, which is supposed to be, you know, the inner sanctum of our democracy and constitutionalism. When you are asked from the White House podium, what do you think about a Supreme Court justice being mobbed and harassed by strangers because they don't like the person? You're supposed to say, that's honestly, we can all have our differences and there's a time and a place for protest, but that's despicable behavior and no person of good faith and goodwill would ever engage in that. And it's also illegal, so we should actually start arresting people who do this. But put that aside, Karine Jean-Pierre says, no, it's fine. Harass them. Go for it.
Peaceful protest, people should be allowed to be able to do that.
In a restaurant.
If it's outside of a restaurant, if it's peaceful, for sure.
Really?
Peaceful protests. Your question was intimidation.
So these justices, because protesters do not agree with an opinion that they signed on to, have no right to privacy, is what you're saying.
But Peter, this is people have the right to, this is what a democracy is.
People
have
the
right
to privacy?
Of course people have a right to privacy, but people also have a right to be able to protest peacefully.
Is that
peacefully
safe?
It's the intimidation and the violence that we condemn.
But they're not. It's not peaceful to find somebody. A restaurant is actually a private property, right? So it's not okay to go in there and harass and mob somebody because you don't like their politics. The restaurant should have called the police and had all the people thrown out, but I'm sure the police would have showed up. Oh, no, we can't do anything because, you know, free speech for the psychopath libs because they vote Biden. That's the way this works in D.C. and every blue city in the country. This rot, by the way, this intellectual and moral deficiency comes from the very top. Speaking of deficiency, intellectually and otherwise, here's Joe Biden speaking to the country today on the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade. Watch.
Let's be clear about something from the very start. This was not a decision driven by the Constitution. Let me say it again. This was not a decision driven by the Constitution. And despite what those justices in the majority said, this was not a decision driven by history.
Not a decision driven by the Constitution. This quasi-senile and always a moron, thinks that there's a right to abortion in the Constitution. Really? Late 18th century, you really think they created a right to abortion? It's in the Constitution? I mean, say that you want it, but stop acting like we're all so dumb that we can't read. Because we can. And this was a fabrication from the beginning. And we all know it. Even honest libs know it. But Biden's not an honest lib and he's a moron. He says the Supreme Court is out of control. Watch this.
It is noteworthy that the percentage of women who registered to vote and cast a ballot is consistently higher than the percentage of the men who do so. End of quote. Repeat the line. Women are not without electoral and or political or maybe precise, not and or political power. That's another way of saying that you, the women of America, can determine the outcome of this issue.
End of quote. Repeat that line. He read that because it was in the prompter. Because you want to talk about the 25th Amendment? Remember they talked about it under Trump just because they didn't like him? They actually should use the 25th Amendment to remove Joe Biden from office. He is unfit. He is too old. He is senile. This is ridiculous. Anyway, well, we got some other bad news here. Japan is in mourning after former Prime Minister Shinzo Abe was killed by an assassin's bullet. We'll have more on that with Gordon Chang in a moment. First, let's talk about protecting your home. I don't know if you saw this, but there was a recent story about an Arizona real estate agent that found the home she lived in was listed for sale. Problem was, she wasn't selling her home. She was the victim of home title fraud, a devastating crime happening all over the country. According to the experts at Home Title Lock, the crime is incredibly profitable and hard to detect. An identity thief simply creates a fake title transfer for your home and refiles as the new owner. Then he can take out loans on your home or sell it. Typical identity theft services don't cover you, and neither does homeowner's insurance. Home Title Lock does. Home Title Lock puts a barrier around your home's title. The instant they detect anyone tampering with your home's title, they help shut it down and help get your home back in your name. Here's what you should do. Go to HomeTitleLock.com and read the testimonials from FBI agents and government officials. Then register your address to see if you're already a victim and don't even know it. When you protect your home, tell them Buck sent you to get 30 free days of protection. HomeTitleLock.com. Again, that's HomeTitleLock.com. Gordon Chang with us next. An assassination that has stunned the world, former Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, the country's longest-serving leader and close ally to the U.S., shot and killed by a lone gunman. Be advised, this video is disturbing, but here is the moment this globally beloved leader was shot during a campaign event just days before a national election. The alleged gunman has been identified as 41-year-old Yamagami Tetsuya. He was tackled at the scene and is in custody. An investigation is underway as to how he got so close and what drove him to commit such a horrible crime. For analysis, let's bring in author of The Great U.S.-China Tech War, Gordon Chang. Gordon, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much, Buck.
Gordon, first, a lot of people are talking about the legacy of Abe, and we'll get into that to be sure, because he was a man, probably the most well-known, most consequential prime minister Japan has had since the Second World War. But do we have any sense at all? Is this just a madman who had some insane grudge against Abe? Do we have any sense of what the political and any kind of terrorist motivation behind this may be?
At first glance, this does look like a lone gunman. There have been some comments from the police that Yanagami believed that Abe was associated with a religious sect that the gunman abhorred. But we really don't know. And I think that whatever the gunman says, we're going to have to do a little bit of tracing back to make sure that there were no foreign involvements. Because there have been a number of countries, there are a number of countries that had a really good day today. And it's a really bad day for the free world, but it was a very good day for Russia, North Korea, and China.
Well, could you explain to us, Gordon, how those states, which are all at least opposition, if not enemy of the U.S., depending on who you're talking about and in what context, how do they benefit from this assassination of Abe?
Well, first of all, Abe provided some stability in Japan. Yes, he was a former prime minister, but he was the leader of the biggest faction in the governing Liberal Democratic Party. Now, obviously, that destabilizes the party, and anything that destabilizes Japan is considered by Beijing to be good. But more important, Abe believed in a strong defense. He believed in a tight relationship with the United States, and he wanted to defend Taiwan. So China obviously wants to absorb Taiwan. Abe was one of those figures who was standing in Beijing's way.
And what is the current trajectory? What are some of the primary political movements and political threads and stories right now? I mean, take away from this for a second, the assassination incident, but are there substantial movements inside of Japan that want to have a much less close relationship with the United States? I mean, what is the political scene before this incident happened, just so we can understand the context?
Yeah, there's a substantial portion of Japan that wants really a pacifist approach, wants very warm relations, very strong business ties with China. And one of the things that left Abe's legacy was he moved Japan in the other direction, a direction where the country had to go. So we're going to have to watch this. Now, some people think, well, you know, because Abe is now a martyr, that Japan will move in that direction anyway. But I don't know if there's strong enough elements within the LDP, Liberal Democratic Party, to actually affect that. So one of the possibilities, and I think it's more probable than not, is we're going to see a lot of uncertainty and chaos as the Liberal Democratic Party figures out who its next leaders are and how they're going to get there.
Former President Trump mourned the loss of Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. Really bad news for the world, the president put out in a statement. Former Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe is dead. He was assassinated. His killer was captured and will hopefully be dealt with swiftly and harshly. Few people knew what a great man and leader Shinzo Abe was, but history will teach them and be kind. He was a unifier like no other, but above all else, he was a man who loved and cherished his magnificent country, Japan. Shinzo Abe will be greatly missed. There will never be another like him. What do you think of some of the key points here that former President Trump makes about Abe? What is this this giant of Japanese politics? What is his legacy?
Well, his legacy is going to be changing Japan's defense posture. But also, there's an important aspect here. Abe was prime minister twice. The first prime ministership was failed, 2006-2007, just 1 year. But the second time he was prime minister, he was there for 8 years, 2012 to 2020. And this was the longest continuous rule by a Japanese prime minister. This was stability. Before Abe's second term, there were revolving door Japanese prime ministers. After Abe left in 2020, 2 years, there have been two Japanese prime ministers. So we're back to the revolving door. And this means that Japan has a political system now that is in flux and probably going in the wrong direction. I hope to think that I'm wrong, but you know, right now, with such a strong figure out of the way, you don't have an obvious person to step up. You know, in these vacuums, sometimes somebody steps up, but sometimes things just go off the rails. I'm concerned they're going to go off the rails.
And what was Abe, this came up briefly earlier in our conversation, Gordon, Abe's feelings about the U.S. policy of ambiguity, right, when it comes to Taiwan and its defense. Abe, as I understand it, was thinking that maybe it should be a more formal commitment, or where did he stand on that issue?
He was moving Japan as fast as he could to some sort of formal commitment. And the reason is that Japan and Taiwan, although they're two separate countries, are part of the same island chain. Matter of fact, the southernmost, westernmost Japanese island that's inhabited is actually south of Taipei. And on a clear day, you can see Taiwan from Yonaguni. The reason why this is important is because for China to successfully invade Taiwan, it has to impose a blockade. For that blockade to be successful, it has to include sovereign Japanese territory. Abe understood that. And so he was trying to push Japan to make it clear to the world that Tokyo would defend Taipei.
How substantial are the Japanese homeland defense forces, given the threat of a possible Chinese invasion of Taiwan?
They're really, really good. Although they're not a formal military, as you point out, they're a self-defense force. They are improving their capabilities. They are working very closely with the United States. With the new president in South Korea, there is going to be more cooperation between Tokyo and Seoul, which would be a very good thing. I think the Chinese are not particularly enthusiastic about taking on the Japanese military. But at this particular time, it's going to take some political leadership and will to continue that direction that Abe put together in terms of spending more.
Gordon, thanks for being with us. Always appreciate your insights.
Thank you so much, Buck.
The Department of Justice is suing Arizona after the state passed a law that requires voters to provide proof of citizenship for some federal elections. We come back. Arizona's Attorney General Mark Brnovich will explain how he's fighting back against the Biden administration. First, I want to talk to you about protecting your online data. A lot of companies promise your privacy is guaranteed. We know that's not true. That's why you need a new privacy and cybersecurity application tool called Secure. It's spelled S-E-K-U-R. Secure is using proprietary encryption and offering secure instant messaging and email. With Secure, all of your communications based on servers and data centers hosted in Switzerland without using any of the big tech platforms. Privacy is a big issue now. Without real security, people can read your emails, messages, even your bank information. Secure will never mine your data and never ask for your phone number. You can send emails to your doctor, banker, lawyer, or anyone else with total confidence you're not being spied on by your internet provider or big tech. Secure is your solution to stop the constant theft of your digital identity. It costs only $5 for the messenger, only $10 for the messenger and email combination package. Go to secure.com and take back your privacy today. That's S-E-K-U-R.com and use promo code BUCK for 25% off. We'll be right back with more Hold the Line. The Justice Department announced this week that it has filed a lawsuit against the state of Arizona challenging the Arizona House Bill 2492, which requires voters to provide evidence of citizenship in order to vote in federal elections. In a statement released this week, Assistant U.S. Attorney General Kristen Clark said House Bill 2492's onerous documentary proof of citizenship requirement for certain federal elections constitutes a textbook violation of the National Voter Registration Act. Well, leading Arizona's fight against the DOJ on this matter is Attorney General Mark Brnovich of the great state of Arizona. He joins me now. A.G. Brnovich, good to see you again, sir.
Thank you, Buck, for having me on.
All right, first tell us, well, what is going on here? What is Arizona House Bill 2492, and why is it legal, constitutional, good?
Well, the short answer is that it basically says if you want to vote in a presidential election or if you want a mail-in ballot, you have to show proof of citizenship. It's a common sense election integrity measure. And in fact, even the federal law says only citizens can vote in our election. So it is a little bit head-scratching why Joe Biden's Department of Justice is challenging this common sense election integrity measure while at the same time allowing literally more than 3 million people to illegally enter our country. So, I mean, I'll let people draw their own conclusions, but why is it Joe Biden doesn't want Arizona to check citizenship while they're letting millions of people into this country? I mean, my goodness, first they gave them hotel rooms, giving them government benefits, and now that Joe Biden wants to give people that have entered the country legally the right to vote.
So now, obviously, the Biden Democrats, the politics of this, I think, are quite clear. We can talk more about that as well. But in terms of the legal argument that the Biden DOJ is making here. I mean, take me through their side just so we understand. Why are they claiming that this violates the National Voter Registration Act?
Yeah, I mean, in a nutshell, every time, you know, the Biden administration doesn't like something, it's a typical far left strategy. They say that somehow that's voter suppression or it's designed to discriminate against the minority communities. And so the reality is that Arizona, we provide a whole host of ways people can vote. They can vote early. There's unsecured drop boxes here. People can vote by mail. People can vote the day of at the polling place. And so Arizona has made voting easy. What we want to do is make cheating hard. And so this is just a common sense election integrity measure. And you may remember, Buck, just last year, I was at the U.S. Supreme Court in Brnovich v. DNC, where I personally argued a case that was named after me, where, once again, the leftist group said Arizona's limitations on ballot harvesting and restrictions on out-of-precinct voting were somehow disenfranchising minority voters. And the Supreme Court saw right through that. So, you know, once again, this is all the far left trying to intimidate principled rule of law, you know, conservative attorneys general from not doing their job. But I've taken on the Biden administration a bunch of times, whether it's on the border, whether it's on unconstitutional vaccine mandates. And, you know, this is just another round of Brnovich v. Biden.
How do you respond to the critics out there who are saying that this new Arizona law would disenfranchise longtime voters who registered before this citizenship requirement was put in place?
It's just simply not true. Look, I mean, voting is obviously a right. We want to make sure that everyone, no matter who they are, has confidence in the electoral process. And in this day and age that we're living in now, there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to enact common sense voter election laws. And at the same time, when Joe Biden's literally letting millions of people illegally enter our country on top of the flow of illegal drugs and fentanyl coming into our country. But when you start having millions of people coming into this country, the Biden administration essentially wants to grant them de facto amnesty. It is incumbent on every state to make sure that everyone's vote counts. And by making sure everyone votes counts, that means you can't have non-citizens voting in your elections.
So, Have you been seeing what's going on next door in the state of Texas, where Governor Abbott is claiming that they're going to do more things at the state level to essentially enforce the border between the U.S. and Mexico? And is there any effort underway like that in Arizona to try to either assist Border Patrol, which is clearly overwhelmed, that has been for the entirety of the Biden presidency, or to take the law enforcement issue into its own hands in some ways? It seems like there are a number of different approaches underway in Texas.
Yeah, you know, Buck, we've talked about this. Every state's a border state now. And unfortunately, the Biden administration has incentivized and decriminalized people breaking the law, and the cartels have essentially seized operational control. And it's not fair to Arizona, it's not fair to Texas, but every state is, as I said, a border state now. But the president and the federal government's at their apex of power when it comes to national security and border security. And there's even U.S. Supreme Court case law that limits the ability of states to do something. It is one of the reasons why I was the first elected official in the country, first AG anywhere, to issue a formal legal opinion, which is available on our website, that says what is going on right now. The Biden administration's failure to secure our border constitutes an invasion per Article, Section 4 of the United States Constitution. And so therefore, in that instance, every state has a right to defend itself. And remember, the states created the federal government. The federal government did not create the states. And so if Joe Biden won't do the job, it's unfair and it's expensive, but that's why you're seeing like states like Texas stand up. If you read our legal opinion, I think that the governors can declare an invasion, and that means they can start doing things like building physical barriers, making sure forcing people to enter through proper ports of entry, and also making sure that if there's drug, gang, cartel activity, that those people can indeed be apprehended and repatriated back to the country of their origin. And so states like Texas shouldn't have to be doing this, but I think there's a lot of frustration by folks like Governor Abbott that are just sick and tired of the Biden administration not doing its job. And they've seen this insane, not humane policy where people are dying trying to get into this country. People are being exploited by the cartels. And ultimately, American taxpayers are paying the cost, not only as a fiscal matter, but we're paying the cost in lost lives as a result of the cartels flooding these terrible drugs like fentanyl in our country, which are made by precursor chemicals coming from China.
Attorney General Brnovich, thanks for being with us. Good to see you, sir.
Thank you, Bob.
Grocery store employee in New York City is out on bail today after being charged with murder for defending himself against an assailant with a long criminal record. Not only is violent crime out of control in the Big Apple, you could be charged with murder if you actually defend yourself against violent criminals. We'll have more on that with senior writer at townhall.com, Kurt Schlichter, in a moment. New York City bodega clerk Jose Alba now being charged with murder after he stabbed an ex-con who attacked him named Austin Simon following a struggle behind the counter at the bodega where he worked over a declined credit card. Police video of the encounter is being reviewed by Alba's defense team in hopes it will provide evidence he acted in self-defense. Joining me now to discuss, senior writer at Town Hall and author of the forthcoming book, We'll Be Back, The Fall and Rise of America, Kurt Schlichter. Kurt, always good to see you.
Hey, glad to be here, Buck.
So there are a few things that you have to have in a society for it to be even, I think, worthy of being called a society. Not even really a free society, although maybe this is part of that too, but just a society, like a civilization of some kind. You have to be able to defend yourself. You cannot be required.
Security is kind of a basic requirement of civilization. And the Soros-based prosecutors want to take that away because they want us submitting to criminals, lowlife, scumbags, and other key Democrat constituencies. It's very obvious. We've seen it before. We've seen it again and again. And look, we're going to need to take aggressive steps to stamp this out, including federal legislation if necessary.
I mean, you have this video. The clerk is, I believe, 62 years old. The guy who shoves him, he pushes him into a corner. Now, you know, I understand, you know, every time two guys in a bar or outside or whatever square off, you know, if one throw, you know, you got to look at the totality of the circumstances before somebody can use lethal force, right? You can't sort of pick a fight with somebody, say, let's go settle this outside, right. Pull a gun and shoot somebody. This clerk doing his job, this guy goes behind where the employees are, corners him, assaults him once. The clerk then tries to get around him to get away. We're showing the video here. And then the guy assaults him, who's bigger and stronger, assaults him again. I mean, he had already had his girlfriend, the attacker's girlfriend, had flashed a knife at the clerk, which I think people need to, that needs to be in more of these stories about this, before going to get the boyfriend. So what is this guy supposed to do? He's just supposed to sit there and get... I mean, it seems like the district attorney of New York, Alvin Bragg, is saying, if you're attacked by some criminal thug, you have to just let them have their way with you. You're not allowed to defend yourself.
No, you're absolutely correct. Self-defense is not that hard. If you're... The rules vary somewhat from state to state, but the general principle is the same. If you have to use the deadly force to defend yourself, from death or great bodily harm or defend someone else, you're allowed to. And again, it varies, and there's some nuances to it, but this is pretty clear. And here the process is the punishment. This guy's never going to get, you know, convicted and sent away for 30 years, but he's already going through a nightmare. And the message is, don't you dare stand up to these Democrat constituents. And let's understand who the criminals are. They are a Democrat constituency. They are a favorite group by Democrats. Democrats support not putting criminals in jail. Democrats support keeping law-abiding citizens from being able to defend themselves. Democrats support this. And they are using their power as prosecutors, a power which, frankly, is there's, as we've learned lately, there's far too much discretion for prosecutors than there should be. They are simply not trustworthy. And we see it again and again as prosecution decisions have been politicized. They are simply using it to oppress those who are not part of the key Democrat constituency. And normal people have got to bind together and put a stop to this.
Jose Alba's defense team put out a statement on the case saying, we continue to investigate this case and gather evidence in Mr. Alba's defense. The video in this case speaks for itself. Mr. Alba was simply doing his job when he was aggressively cornered by a much younger and bigger man. He wasn't just cornered. I mean, he was manhandled. He was assaulted twice. And I would add to all this, it's really, to your point about the message it sends, there is clear, close color video of this, right? This isn't like grainy security footage from two blocks away where you can't see what. You see exactly what happened here. If that footage didn't exist, you think to yourself, so maybe this guy would go to prison on second-degree murder charges, right? I mean, just based on the politics around it.
I think that's a real possibility. Look, and I I have a bone to pick with the defense attorneys. I think that statement was soft. If I had been defending him, and I typically don't defend criminal accused, and this is a criminal case, I would point out a known felon and convict attacked my client at his place of work, put him in legitimate fear of great bodily injury or death. He used the only means he could to protect himself from injury or murder by a much bigger felon who brought the attack to him, even after he tried to escape. The DA has no business bringing these charges. They should be thrown out at the outset. And fortunately, in many free states, you do have a process early on in the case where the government does need to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that there is no self-defense when self-defense is a potential argument. Some of these are in conjunction with so-called stand your ground laws, which are not really stand your ground laws, but that's a whole different subject. In a place like New York, though, the deck is stacked against normal citizens defending themselves and their families against Democrat constituencies. And again, let's be perfectly clear. Criminals are a Democrat constituency. That's why in Democrat Chicago, for instance, Democrat criminals murder Democrats all the time. And the Democrat administration will not take action to stop them. But if you, an innocent civilian, attempt to defend yourself, they will prosecute you to send a message that you must submit to the depredation of Democrat constituents.
Mayor Eric Adams put out a statement, seems to be in support of Jose Alba, said, "I support hardworking, innocent people that are doing their job. And I saw him as a hardworking, innocent New Yorker that a person went behind the counter and attacked." So, I mean, you know, Alvin Bragg sees the video, obviously, charges second-degree murder, not even like a manslaughter charge, right? Second-degree murder was the charge. They wanted $500,000. They wanted a $500,000 bail. Initially, it was $250,000. Then people freaked out, like me, by the way, on radio, and they lowered it to $50,000. I mean, I think they shouldn't have brought charges at all. I think they should have given him a pat on the back and sent him home.
Given a medal.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is the whole thing is ridiculous, but I mean, 250,000 or 500,000, 250,000 bail is crazy. I think that the mayor realizes that the Democrat impulse to side with the criminal, at least in this case, we're not going to be told that it's an instance of white supremacy, and therefore it's a little bit more clear-eyed for a lot of people watching this. You know, the politics of it aren't so murky. He attacked an elderly Hispanic guy who defended himself.
Well, look, if you're wondering why Hispanic Americans are moving to the Republican Party in such great numbers, here's another example. It is now open season on hardworking individuals of all races. And frankly, it's minority community members who suffer disproportionately from crime. Again, crime is authorized by Democrat governments because they refuse to take the basic action to stop it. You know, none of this is a secret, Buck. None of it is a secret about how to get rid of criminals. We did it 30 years ago in New York City. 30 years ago, New York said, we're done. We've had the 60s, 70s, and 80s of criminals running wild. We're not going to do it. And they elected a mayor who led a campaign against crime, and crime went away. And then they made a choice because they thought, oh, well, it's really harsh and there's no crime anyway. We'll just backslide. And here you go, innocent civilians, innocent citizens at the mercy of Democrat constituent criminals.
I lived through it, by the way, the transformation. It was remarkable. But speaking of transformation and the ability to come back from, as you pointed out, the 60s, 70s, and then in the 80s, you've got a book coming out. We'll be back, The Fall and Rise of America, next week. What can folks expect? Why should they get their second and third copies? Because I'm sure they've already got one.
Well, they damn well better have one, Buck. Look, it's lively, it's fun, it's fast. It's not one of those bow tie conservative books where they go, well, as Locke might have put it, as Burke pointed out. No, we don't have any of that. We're talking about the potential for national divorce, the potential for civil war. We're talking about China, and we're talking how to come back. We're talking about a game plan for getting in the White House and kicking some liberal tail. It's about owning the libs and taking back our country. And it is a lot of fun. It's fast. It's funny. I'm a lawyer. I'm a I'm an army officer, and I was a stand-up comic. Every line in there is either going to point out something important or teach you something or be funny. So get the book. It's a cool book, if I say so myself. And I'm not modest, because you want a modest lawyer. Maybe he knows something about himself. You don't. Yeah, don't. Go get the book. Don't think. Get the book. Just act. It has all the answers. It's right there with Shakespeare.
All about it, my friend. Good luck to you. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Buck. I appreciate it.
Elon Musk had an interesting reaction to the public revelation that he has 9 kids. We've got more on that coming in Quick Hits. Stay with us. Elon Musk has an interesting response to critics of his prolific procreation. Nice alliteration there, guys. An investigation finds no evidence that Border Patrol agents whipped migrants in Del Rio, Texas. Those stories coming up in Quick Hits. Let's get right to it. First of all, I don't know if Elon's actually going to be able to purchase Twitter. I hope he does, because he has at least espoused that there will be free speech principles on Twitter, which do not actually exist. Twitter is run by libs for libs. It is a completely insane, woke place when it comes to the application of these community health policies and all the rest of it, conversational health. It's just all garbage, and these people are nuts. Elon might be finally able to put a stop to a lot of that craziness if he takes over the company. We'll see. It looks like they're having trouble verifying the number of actual bot accounts that are currently operating on Twitter, which has been a big sticking point for Musk's offer to buy the company out up to this point. But on a very different note, turns out that Elon is a dad many, many, many times over. It turns out that he actually has 9 children, which a lot of people didn't know. I didn't know that. And he tweeted this: doing my best to help the underpopulation crisis. A collapsing birth rate is the biggest danger civilization faces by far. He's making a joke here of it. It's a clever joke, actually, because it's also true. This notion that we are overpopulated and need to limit population because of climate change is nihilistic absurdity. And people need to stop. This is some kind of deep-seated neuroses from control-obsessed authoritarian libs that we need less people because too many people means not enough, you know, pretty ponds to stare at or something. And the whole thing is ridiculous. It's absurd. But then again, the left is basically insane, as you know. So it's not surprising. I really do hope Elon managed to buy Twitter, though. That would be very helpful. Here's CBP Commissioner Chris Magnus clearing border agents of the whipping allegation. This was back when there was a large caravan of Haitian migrants, mostly Haitian migrants, who had gathered at the U.S.-Mexico border. There was a photograph taken that kind of looked like maybe this guy had reins in his hand he was using as a whip, except he wasn't. The photographer who saw it said he wasn't using it as a whip. They were split reins. He was merely using it to guide the horse. But Magnus cleared the agents once again, saying that they didn't do anything. Watch.
Likewise, OPR investigators determined that the agents involved in the Del Rio activity were not carrying whips. The third area focused on the individual actions of the agents. Despite initial appearances, after a careful review and analysis of videos, photos, and eyewitness accounts, this included an interview with a photographer on the scene and other members of the media, OPR found no evidence Border Patrol agents involved in this incident struck any person with their reins, intentionally or otherwise.
It just didn't happen. Joe Biden owes these members of Border Patrol who were caught up in this an apology. That is what honor dictates here. And first of all, what he said was deeply dishonorable and wildly unfair. But if he had even a shred of honor or decency, he would come out and say, I am sorry that I jumped to conclusions here. I was wrong. Those members of Border Patrol did nothing wrong. And to play along with the race politics of the moment, that's what Joe Biden always does. Biden's press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, by the way, is out there insisting that, well, this is what she said. We have a stronger economy than we have in history, or something like that. Watch.
When you look at inflation, when we look at where we are economically, and we are in a strong, we are stronger economically than we have been in history.
In history? Like in all of history? Because that's quite a claim for her to be making. But then again, you know, without the binders. I would like to see her do one of these briefings with none of the binders in front of her. Just let's just see what she has to say about things. I honestly believe it would be fascinating and really good TV, but I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. That's it for tonight's Hold the Line. The No Spin News with Bill O'Reilly is next. Shields high.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at, like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.